Good morning, Franciscans.
Good morning.
We have wonderful lessons this morning. St. Paul exhorts us to face and overcome our fears, our tribalism, our classism. And in the gospel, Jesus shows us how it's done as he heals the Gerasene demoniac. More at sermon time.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told him how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. May the mind of God, even wiser than our minds, search us deeply and open us to the truths that make for our healing. May the ears of God, ever open to our prayers, listen for us deeply and hear beneath our words our honest yearnings. And may the heart of God, ever filled with costly love, cherish us deeply, mending any brokenness and affirming our worth. Amen. You've got to admit, our gospel reading this morning contains quite the story. Not quite Game of Thrones, but a pretty epic, slightly crazy kind of drama. One commentator characterized it as somewhere between a political cartoon and a graphic novel. "The whole scene is bizarre," he said. "You've got a naked crazy guy, chatty demons, charging pigs doing swan dives, tombs, chains, shackles, freaked out locals, and a small riot. All in Gentile territory where, as far as Luke was concerned, Jesus had no business being in the first place." This is the story of the Gerasene demoniac. A miracle story in a series of four such stories showcasing Jesus' power that Luke gives us before he recounts how Jesus sends out the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. The four miracles: Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, the hemorrhaging woman being healed by touching the fringe of Jesus' clothes, and Jesus healing the Gerasene demoniac, all demonstrate Jesus' power and cosmic authority and reveal who he is. And arguably, this one is the most compelling of them all. Jesus and the disciples take a little trip across the Sea of Galilee. No reason, just, let's get in the boat and go across to the other side. After Jesus saves them all from perishing in a storm, they land in the country of the Gerasenes, Gentile country, and are immediately met by a man who's possessed by a multitude of demons. For a long time, he's been an outcast, living in the tombs, naked, homeless, nameless, and voiceless, as his whole being is occupied by a multitude of unclean spirits. The demons recognize Jesus, and when Jesus commands them to come out of the man, they beg Jesus not to torment them, not to order them to go back into the abyss. The demons, which call themselves Legion, beg Jesus to let them enter a large herd of pigs nearby. Jesus lets them do it. Now remember, Jews considered pigs unclean. And the pigs rush down into the lake and drown. The demons are abolished to the abyss after all. Now the swineherds are understandably upset and go tell the rest of the community. When the people come to see what had happened, they find the formerly possessed man sitting at the feet of Jesus, healed, clothed, and in his right mind. And being afraid, they ask Jesus to leave. The healed man begs to go with Jesus, but Jesus tells him to return to his home and declare how much God has done for him. The demoniac is a compelling figure, and Jesus' healing of him, the way he saves him, is equally compelling. His power over the demons is masterful. At first, he appears to accede to their wishes, but he quickly prevails and banishes them to the abyss. It's almost a superhero story, absolute power and authority on display. But then there are the Gerasene people who don't quite fall into line. And this is the part of the story that I'd like to drill down into for a bit, because I think it says a lot to us about the power of fear. There's no joy in the Gerasene people at what Jesus has done. Hearing from the swineherds what has transpired, they come down to the shore. And there they find, as Luke tells us, the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Now, if the story ended there, one might think that they were afraid to be in the presence of someone they thought was crazy, possessed by demons, even if he looked sane and normal. But Luke elaborates. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. This gets us to the heart of the matter. It's not the healed man they fear. What Jesus has done has triggered their fear. Why? What has caused such deep fear? You'd think they'd be happy to have the demons gone and to see the man acting normal again. He'd been such a threat to himself and to the community that the people had kept him under guard and bound with chains and shackles, certainly to keep themselves safe, and perhaps so they could feed him and keep him alive. Wouldn't the sight of him clothed and in his right mind bring them a flood of relief? Why then are they afraid? The most likely answer is that the disruption of the status quo is what's at the root of their fear. Jesus' presence and power has disrupted the social order. The people had become comfortable with the way things were. The demoniac had his place, alone and in the wild. And suddenly the social order is upset now that he's normal again and back among them as one of them. They don't understand it, so they reject it out of fear. What we do not understand, what interrupts our relatively orderly lives, even if it's for someone's good, frightens us, writes Sarah Heinrich. We ask, how can this be? What might this be? Where does this power come from? What if it turns against me? What does this power want? So sometimes we prefer the comfort of the status quo to the uncertainty of something new, even if it's life-giving. As pastor and scholar David Loos put it, odd as it may sound, we often prefer the devil we know to the freedom we do not. Fear of change, fear of transformation can cause us to reject everything that Jesus offers us, everything that gives us new life. It's easy for us to look at what the Gerasene people say and do in this story with disbelief. Jesus has cast out a legion of demons and they ask him to leave. But we're not immune to this kind of fear. It possesses us as well. We like things to happen the way we're comfortable with. We like ourselves the way we are, even if we don't always like ourselves. We want to keep everything under control, and we're fearful when we think things are out of our control. But this is precisely when we need to open ourselves up to change and allow us ourselves to be transformed. The Reverend Dion Johnson writes, when we have become comfortable with the way things are, when we have made peace with death dealing in our politics, our faith, and our society, it is precisely then that Jesus offers us healing, offers us hope, and offers us wholeness. But do we really want to be healed? He asks. Do we really want things in our lives, in the church, or in our world to be different? We fear what we do not know. Fear holds us back, ties us down, and keeps the stench of death about us. We don't really want the way we live to be interrupted or disrupted. Healing and wholeness, redemption and resurrections are scary because they mean a different way of life, a new order, a new reality, a new creation has arrived. So we often find ways to cling to the familiar tombs we have long haunted. Yes, we often prefer the devil we know to the freedom we do not. But Jesus doesn't abandon us to our familiar tombs. Rather, Jesus finds a way to lead us out of our fears. And he even does it with the Gerasene community. Now, did any of you think it a little odd when Jesus replied to the healed demoniac who begged to go with him, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you"? I mean, think about it. Isn't Jesus more about inviting people to follow him? But there's work for the healed demoniac to do among his own community. God's work. Where Jesus' demonstration of his power left the people in great fear, the living testimony of the one who's been healed, who's been restored, who's been saved, has the power to slowly transform them, to lead them out of their fear and allow them to accept the healing, hope, and wholeness that Jesus brought them. If the healed demoniac left and followed Jesus back across the lake, it would be easy for his neighbors to revert to the status quo they were comfortable with. In the healed demoniac, Jesus is saving them also, holding out for them the same transformation out of fear into new life that the demoniac experienced. Not a superhero type power, but life-giving nonetheless. In the end, the power that Jesus brings, the power of love, the power exemplified in the cross, prevails over all the powers that hurt, isolate, torment, and destroy human life. God heals us, restores us, and saves us. God leads us out of our fears. No matter how tightly we try to hold on to what we know and are comfortable with, no matter how long it takes. And when we experience this truth and experience the power of that love, the only response we can give, like the healed demoniac, is to proclaim to all who have ears how much Jesus has done for us. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. You have heard the word. Now the work begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.